Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Personality Types, Shiur number 10. And we are in a chapter calling Celebrating Differences, the 8 preferences. And we reviewed 4 of them. We explained how the S and the N, sensing versus is intuitive, is the information gathering functions, how they gather information through either a concrete way as a sensor or an imaginative conceptual way as an intuitive. And then we explained the T and F. That's the decision-making process, whether you make decisions based on objectivity or as a T, or based on subjectivity as an F. And now we're going to turn to the third concept, which is the source of energy, where you get your energy from. How does it flow? And that is the EI difference, the extroverted versus introverted difference. So let's talk first about extroversion. Do you observe and make decisions about your world and verbalize much of what you're observing and deciding? Do you prefer to perform these functions in the outer world of other people? Then you're an extrovert. Do you tend to open your mouth and then engage the brain? Are you energized by people and by action? That's an extrovert. Do you become drained if you spend too much time by yourself? Would you rather talk than listen? Do you tend to leave meetings or parties saying, when will I ever learn to keep my mouth shut? If so, you're probably an extroverted and you're designated with the letter E. And you are an extrovert if you like the words lively, popular, that's more resonating with you than the words calm and private. So there's a sociability, there's interaction, it's external, there's a lot of breadth versus depth. There's multiple relationships, there's external events, gregarious, speaking and then thinking, rather speaking than listening. That's the E. If you are an introvert, then would you rather keep your observations and decisions inside? Are you energized by thoughts and ideas but drained by intense discussions? Would you rather listen than talk? Do you often leave a meeting thinking, why didn't I say this? If so, then you most likely have a preference for introversion and you're designated with the letter I. As an introvert, you find it necessary to recharge, to be alone with yourself and your thoughts after spending a few hours with one or several people. So it's idea of concentration, it's internal, it's depth, it's intensive, it's internal reactions, it's reflective, it's thinking then speaking, and rather listening than speaking. So this is a very important difference. According to Carl Jung, it's one of the primary, most crucial differences, because here is where the source and focus of one's energy is. And a lack of understanding between these two types can lead to a lot of interpersonal problems. An extrovert, as we mentioned, is energized by the outer world. So all those activities that an extrovert finds exhilarating and uplifting and exciting drain the introvert. That's why, like real Labadika Chasanas, or Purim for that matter, being in a crowd in Purim, it is much more enjoyable to extroverts than to introverts. Now, an introvert would love Purim, recognize the beauty of the day, but the social interactions could be overwhelming for them. And the opposite is true when the reflection and introspection and solitude, which produces energy and focus for the introverts, they're a drain on the energy of the extrovert. They need to meet with people. They need to speak to people. So this very important I&E difference is very important. Now, how I&Es cope in this world, and we will, Be'ez Hashem, I hope to get into a separate aspect of personality types, focusing a lot on introversion. There are books about introversion. We will go through some of them because they're a smaller part of the population and often overlooked. So we talked about HSPs, but I do want to talk separately about introverts overall, because introverts are outnumbered, about 3-1, generally speaking, and they need to develop extra coping skills early in life, because in our society, they have to shape up to act like the rest of the world, which is difficult for them. For example, even in classrooms, when a teacher announces 1/3 of your grade will be based on classroom participation, that before making such a statement, extroverts and introverts are on a level playing field. But once that hits, We're going to base things based on classroom participation, then an extrovert has the advantage. They have the advantage. Because, for example, a teacher asks a question in the class, the introvert thinks, I know the answer, but I need to focus on it and process it first. The extrovert right away says, I know the answer, let me start talking, and then I'll become clear. He'll raise his hand, he'll blurt it out. The extrovert will show more classroom participation, and an introvert will show less. Introvert doesn't waste words. So who will get the better grade for classroom participation? Extroverts will. So, and very often, it's an extroverted world. They will get the credit, or they will get the advantage. And that is an important thing to recognize. In workplaces and in other places, very often the introvert is overlooked, underestimated, and so on. But again, it could be the other way around too. Extroverts have their challenges as well. So we have separate sure, and we may talk about workplaces, but there are these problems. For example, an extrovert does need more verbal reassurance, and they like it and they need it. An introvert is wary of them, you know, and so that's another difference there. An extrovert parent, for example, may overpraise their children. And the extroverted recipient may love that, but the introvert will wonder, is that praise really real? Or is it superficial and unnecessary, or maybe even phony? And will make the praisers feel uneasy whether it's worth it to offer such praise, and so on. An introverted manager or parent often restrains from stroking and complimenting because they feel phony doing that. So that's a problem. An extrovert may go overkill in their praise and encouragement, which is counterproductive. An introvert may hold it back. Like an introvert mother runs the risk of being holding back and not showing enough warmth and encouragement to a child, while an extrovert may go overboard till it becomes meaningless. So if you go overboard with it and you always express it, then you get like, when is it real? When is it not real? So a healthy balance needs to be there. Introverts, a true blue extrovert, can walk into a room, present the situation, ask for an opinion, arrive at their own conclusion, thank everyone who happened to be in the room, and walk out and never interrupting his thought process. And introverts are amazed and amused by such behavior. And they wonder, did that extrovert really wanted an answer in the first place? They sort of processed it themselves. The introvert does the reverse. They work inwardly. They reach a conclusion. They don't say a word to anyone about it. And when confronted, they will swear even, I did tell that extrovert what I decided, but they really didn't. It was all in their head. And that's an introverted problem. They think that they said things that they think they said, but they didn't. It was just in their head. So that's the introversion-extroversion concept, where the source of energy comes. The final one is a lifestyle orientation. A lifestyle orientation is the J and the P. It deals with which function you most likely relate to in the outer world. So the two preferences, there's J and P. So as a J, you're structured, you're scheduled, you're ordered, you're planned, you're controlled, you're decisive, you're deliberate, you're able to make decisions with a minimum amount of stress. You plan your work and work your plan. Everything's organized the right way, and there's a right way of doing things, and there's a wrong way of doing things. And you're resolved, fixed, closure, definite, scheduled, deadlines, and so on and so forth. A J once observed, every morning I used to have my day planned, and when someone comes to me and asks me to do something I didn't plan, I feel like they've just tracked mud all over my clean floor. That's how they feel. P's are the opposites, perceivers. They are flexible, spontaneous, adaptive, responsive to a variety of situations. They don't, the closure and decisions would give them anxiety. They are perceivers. They're classified with the letter P. They have a wait and see attitude on most things, what work needs to be done and how to solve that problem. So basically, the perceivers have a tendency to perceive or collect keep on collecting new information, and they would rather do that than to draw conclusions or judgments on any subjects. Judgers, in contrast, have a tendency to judge and make decisions rather than respond to new information. So at their extremes, either one is unhealthy. Because a perceiver, if you're a strong P, you're virtually incapable of making decisions. You'll go out with a girl 25 times and then back out if you're an extreme P. If you're a J, you're the other way around. I want to get married. You see a girl you half like and barely know, but it sounds okay. You check mark quickly. I'm married. That's the other unhealthy extreme, where they don't change their mode in any way. Those are the two extremes. But you need both. You need a certain open-endedness that a J needs to learn, and you need a certain closing in and making a decision that the P's need to learn. So that is the idea between the two of them. This preference is the most difficult to hide. You see, if you're an introvert, you could fake being an extrovert for a couple of hours. If you're an extrovert and you decide you want to be quiet, you could shut your mouth for a few hours and you'll be successful. You could hide it. SNN also, you could be quiet about certain things. You won't know right away whether they are a concrete, down-to-earth person or imaginative person. TNF also, you could express emotion even though you're a thinker. You could express logic even though you're a feeler. You could sort of, it's harder to tell sometimes. We explained last time, if you are an introvert and a feeler, you may not sense the feeling part of it because the introvert covers it up a little bit. You could be an extrovert and a thinker. You may not realize they're a thinker because they're an extrovert and they seem warm, but they're just being open. But a T and a J and a P are easy to tell. Why are they easy to tell? Because it really more or less tells you what their outcome is in the way they deal with their daily life. And it's very hard not to see the difference there. Now, judgers may run perceivers to the wall and say, I need an opinion. I need a plan. I need a schedule. P's, perceivers, drive judgers crazy with their ability to always be spontaneous and easygoing about everything. Even life and death issues. They'll be more like that. So a P would say, when I'm in a group and I'm trying, and everyone's trying to make a decision, I wish I could just leave the room and come back when it's over. Like, wake me up when it's over. I'm not into the decision-making process. It's a major challenge, this JP conflict. It is a major challenge. So here's an example. Not long ago, a judger who has been through one of our seminars went home to practice the perceiving-type behaviors. But rather than simply make a decision, he thought he would collect some information. So in the evening, he called his wife in the living room and asked her, would you like some peaches for an evening snack? To which his perceiver wife said, we haven't had peaches in a long time. Now, this was a perception, not a judgment. This bugged a J who wanted a decision. So tell me something I don't already know. And he just closed the fridge, walked away, let her get her own peaches. And then, of course, the P will wonder, the wife, where are my peaches? You see, what happened was, is he just, as a J, wanted his wife, P, to say, yes, I want peaches, please give it to me. But she's not used to that. So she just says, oh, we haven't had it for a long time. That's her way of saying, yeah, I'd like some. That's a classic JP communication or miscommunication. The J is looking for a judgment, a decision. Do you want me to do this and that? And the P perceives and just gives a perception which may mean yes and implies yes. For example, the P would say, if I didn't want peaches, I would have said I had a lot of peaches lately. But the fact that I said that I didn't have peaches in a long time, that means I want one. Why do I have to spell it out? So P's find J's opinionated, close-minded. What do you want? What are you harping on a decision? And J's find P's flaky, unfocused, irresponsible. Both not always true. J's are the ones who write books on time management and then hit the P over the head with it. Why can't you stick to the game plan? J's write diet books, and P's are frustrated how structured it is and they end up putting on more weight than losing it. J's like things organized, and P's mess up their schedule. Both J's and P's, of course, wonder why each one makes the other person's day so difficult. So that's a real issue between the two. So see, here are certain rules that will help a J and P along. A P, a perceiver, needs to generate alternatives. A J must understand that. That's a true nature. They always are trying to explore new options. A J has to respect that. A J, after listening to a P's alternatives, then takes charge. The P will be grateful for that. Helps them focus. So if you have, let's say, a wife that's a J, structured, and a husband that's a P, a perceiver, the perceiver husband is appreciative that the J focuses on and helps them make that decision or closes it up. It's a nature for a J to moan and complain if their schedule is disrupted. A P can't take that personally. And so these type of things of learning about each other helps greatly. So the idea of this whole concept of type watching here is your strengths are maximized, and that's very good. But if you're overboard with your type, it could become a liability. An introvert has to learn to develop their extroverted side, and an extrovert has to learn to be more reflective and introverted at times. A sensor that's concrete needs to understand sometimes there are things beyond the five senses, and there are things that are bigger picture, and needs to drag themselves down to earth sometimes. They all need to work on themselves. The development of your four preferences and your non-preferences continue throughout life. Your four-letter type will remain with you for the rest of your life, but the strengths of them will vary greatly. So, for example, you may have been a very strong extrovert in your teenage years, and now you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s. You're still an extrovert, but you are more moderate. You have different needs now, and you sometimes could develop an introversion to your benefit. Same thing with an introvert. A person as a child or a teenager, as an introvert, was totally shy, withdrawn, never even said a word. But now, in their 30s and their 40s, they deal with people, and they become more outgoing and extroverted in their benefit. This is just one example of this lifelong process of you will be your type, but you'll learn the hiskalalus, the integration, to get along and to love each other and to respect each other. That will definitely save so much agmas nefesh and create a tremendous amount of simcha and understanding between people and between couples. Bracha v'atzlacha.